To be with you again at the Crockett Church of Christ. I can remember coming to Crockett years ago. I remember the old building that burned. And I can't remember when that was. Brother Beard, when was that? You don't remember, do you?
After 76, because I came here for a meeting.
Okay. I remember the old building and then it burning and then... But anyway, it's good to be with you. Good to see some friends out there. All of you are my friends. I know most of you well. But it's good to see some friends from Thyatira and members from the church in Sardis and other places. And I'm glad to be with you. Open your Bibles to Acts, the 8th chapter. Acts chapter 8, and we want to begin reading there at verse number 26. Acts 8, 26. Last night, we noticed the conversion of 3,000 souls. Tonight, we'll look at just one individual. But each one, the 3,000, are that one individual was important in the sight of God. Amen. And if we can win one soul for Christ, we have done a wonderful thing. And as Christians, we need to be reaching out to our neighbors and friends with the gospel so that they might hear, that they might believe, and they might obey and enjoy salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace or Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest what thou readest? And he said, How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet, of himself or of some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water, what hindereth me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip from the eunuch, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azos, and passing through, he preached to all in all the cities, till he came to Caesarea. Now let's go back and note several of these scriptures a little bit more. We want to see what this man did to receive salvation from his sins. And an old friend just came in the door, and I was glad to see him. Hey, Judge. Love Judge Myers. He's a fine young man.
Amen.
Philip, he's an evangelist. A good and noble man. We read more about him in the book of Acts. But he's sent by God, by the angel of the Lord, and told to meet the eunuch. Now there's a lesson there. You know, several years ago, when I was living in Corbin, I was visiting in the home of this individual. And he told me that the Lord appeared to him in a dream that night and told him what he needed to do. Well, it was nothing like what the Bible says to do. You know, God never, in the conversions that we read about, ever appeared to folks and told them what to do. He always used an earthen vessel. He always used a man to go. And God wants to use us, you and I, to go and teach that message to a lost and dying world. Well, he comes and he meets the Ethiopian eunuch. In verse 27, it says he was a eunuch of great authority. He was over the queen's treasury. From that, I gather this was a good man, an honest man. You know, you try not to put crooks over the treasury. I know sometimes that happens, but you try not to do that. And I believe this man was a good and honest man. He was a eunuch. Now, how he became a eunuch, I don't know. He may have been made eunuch by men, or he may have been born that way. But nevertheless, he was eunuch. Usually, in that day and time, those working in the household of royalty were made eunuchs. Not all the time, but usually. But here's a man. If he had been living, if the old covenant was still in effect, he would have some of the privileges that other folks had. But now the new covenant is in effect, and he would have all the rights and privileges that any Christian could have. Well, he was returning. He was a good man because he had been all the way up to Jerusalem to worship. You remember last night, those 3,000 that obeyed the gospel, they had gathered together in Jerusalem for the feast day of Pentecost. Well, the eunuch had gone up to Jerusalem for the worship a long way, and he was returning home. And that's when the angel of the Lord told Philip to go and join himself to it. And it just so happened that the eunuch was reading from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. He was reading from Isaiah chapter 53, in particular verses 7 and 8, which speaks of one led as a sheep to the slaughter. It talks of one who was described that his life is taken from the earth. Well, that aroused the eunuch's curiosity. And he asked Philip, you know, Philip had joined himself to the chariot. And he asked the eunuch, "Do you understand what you read?" And he said, "How can I accept some of that?" God, I meant to include this, and I'll do it right now. You know, some folks, if you go to them and tell them you want to explain something to, "I don't need your help. Who do you think you are? You think you know more than I do?" A lot of people have that attitude. I've had that attitude at times. It's a wrong attitude, I admit it. Sometimes I get eat up with myself. You have to get eat up with yourself. You don't need to. It shows you stupidity.
Yeah.
But anyway, the eunuch said, "How can I? Some ancient guy, he wanted some help." And Philip took the scripture and preached to him Jesus. Did you notice that? At the same scripture, Philip preached unto him Jesus. We need to use the scriptures. We don't need to say, "Well, I'm Hal Johnson and I've studied the Bible all my life and I know what that means." And let's look at the scripture. Let's see what it says. "Preacher, don't you think?" No. It's not what I think or you think, but what God says.
Amen.
And we need to remember that. Well, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. I don't know all that Philip preached. It's not recorded. Surely he preached about him coming to this earth, being born in Bethlehem of Judea, born of the Virgin Mary, lived among men, died on the cross. Surely he dealt with all that. But he preached to him Jesus. Surely he dealt with what one needed to do to be saved. You know why I say that? As they are going and traveling along, you notice that the eunuch says, "See, here is water. What hindereth me to be baptized?" Now, y'all, bear with me a minute and think with me. "See, here is water." I don't believe you have to be baptized in water. It's spirit baptism. Really? The spirit's involved when we're baptized. But what did the eunuch say? "See, here is water." It wasn't buttermilk. It wasn't molasses. It was water. Peter says, "The like thing were unto baptism, now all us also now does save us, not the putting away of the flesh, but the action of a conscience toward God." Y'all have baptistry back here, I'm sure. You know, there's nothing special in that water. It's come from Tate County somewhere. You have a Crockett Water Association or Tate County Water Association?
Yes, we do.
Nothing special about that water. There was no nothing special about that water where the eunuch was baptized. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was a stream or a pond, but it was water. When I was a little boy growing up out in deep Fort Panola County, we baptized in a pond. And they also baptized behind my house in a creek. I was fortunate. I was born a little bit later. They baptized me in the baptistry at the Batesville Church of Christ many years later. And Lee Brown was the preacher. But I believe Ed Burns actually was the one that baptized me. Lee was preaching in the meeting, and Ed baptized me. See, here is water. What hath me to be baptized? You know, the scripture says that Philip began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Preaching Jesus involves preaching baptism. When you preach Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who is crucified for your sins, you preach about baptism. Can't get away from it. I know a lot of folks want to get away from it today, but folks, if we try to get away from what the Scripture says, we mess up. We got to stay with the truth. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart," the Bible says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Faith cometh by hearing. Well, guess what? Philip was reading the word of God. Not Philip, but the eunuch. Philip joined himself to the chariot. And he took that scripture and explained it, and he preached to him Jesus. So his faith came by hearing what was preached to him. If thou believest, thou mayest. You know, if someone is baptized but doesn't believe, you know what? They just got wet. You gotta believe. You gotta believe. We don't believe in Christ. Several years ago, there's a lady that called me and she said, "Brother Johnson, I've really got a question." I said, "Okay." She said, "Brother Johnson, when I was baptized many years ago, there was a bunch of other folks that went forward and I just went up there with them. I really didn't believe." I said, "Is that... are you sure about that?" She said, "I'm certain." I said, "Well, what do you need to do?" She said, "I need to be baptized because I never was." I said, "Well, I'll meet you at the church building." And she's baptized for the remission of her sins. I know sometimes people get older and they begin to question about them. But this was one that was really legitimate. And she had a real question, and she needed to do something. And she did. "If thou believest, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." You've got to believe the same thing today. You've got to believe. "Except you believe that I'm He, ye shall die in your sins." John 8:24. You've got to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, here the eunuch and Philip stop. The eunuch commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down into the water. Now that's a picture of baptism. I often do this when I'm preaching this. They went down. And they came up out of the water. It says, and he baptized him. Well, why did they go down in water? Because baptism is an immersion. The Greek word baptizo means to dip, to plunge, to immerse. Rantizo is another word. It means to sprinkle. But this is baptizo. It means to dip, to plunge, to immerse. Several years ago, I had the opportunity to go over to Poland and do some English Bible studies with some of the folks over there. And we were discussing some things. And this particular young man, Petro, and I were studying together. And somehow the discussion of baptism came along. We were discussing this. And we dealt with this. I said, have you been baptized? And he looked at me and said, not like that. Well, I knew he'd been sprinkled. A few years even further back from that, when I was preaching at Cortland, we had a young lady that attended Bible study and worship with us. She is married to an American citizen, but she was German. And I set up a Bible study with him, and we studied. And we were looking at various things, and I think it was this passage, but it may not have been. But anyway, you've always seen that commercial where the light comes on. We were studying, and it was as though the light came. And she stopped me and she said, I haven't been baptized. I hadn't even really mentioned it, Robert, just passing. I haven't been baptized. And I said, well, what you need to do? She says, I need to be baptized. I said, what do you want? She's writing right now. And Robert, she's a little bitty thing, weighed less than 100 pounds. But she fought the water like a saber-toothed tiger. She almost drowned me when I was trying to baptize her.
She just couldn't handle
it. She was scared of water. But she wanted to be baptized right then and right there. And we did. Later they moved to Jackson, Mississippi area, and I've lost contact with them. But that was one time, literally, it was like the light came on. You know why? Because she was sincere and honest and wanted to do what was right. Like this Ethiopian eunuch. He was sincere and he was honest and he wanted to do what was right. They both went down into the water. Both Philip and the eunuch, and Philip baptized him. They said, well, who was it baptized? It was Philip, because the eunuch needed baptism. And they came up out of the water. And they went on the way. He went on the way rejoicing. Isn't that wonderful? A few little other lessons, and this lesson will be yours. Just because one is religious does not mean that they're right. It does not mean they're saved. The eunuch was religious. He'd been up to Jerusalem to worship, but he needed to be saved. Religious people oftentimes are good prospects. They want to do right. They just don't know what is right. And we need to help them to understand what is right. And don't go with the attitude that I know more than you. Go with the attitude, the Bible is right.
Amen.
The Bible is. I may be wrong, ye may be wrong, but the Bible is right. Here we see a man that did not wait. Just like that young lady I talked about from Cortland who actually lived down the Enid Shores. When the light came on, she wanted to do what needed to be done right then, right there. Didn't want to waste any time. We see the immediacy of baptism here with this eunuch. They didn't have to call together the church to vote on whether he was a worthy candidate to be baptized. Don't read anything like that about the 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. Every time you read about a conversion in the book of Acts, they did it immediately. They didn't wait. I've had people tell me, preacher, when I get around to it, but you're never going to get around to it. Unless you go to Arkansas and Mount View, you can buy a round to it. I bought a couple round to it and gave them to some of my friends. Because they would always say, when I get a round to it. When we are convicted of our sins, we're going to do something about it right then, right there.
Yes, sir.
We're not going to wait. I've had people say, preacher, I need to get some things straightened out in my life. You do. Well, why don't you do something about that right now? Repent before. Let folks know. Confess in Christ. Obey Christ so that Christ can help you with the things that are not right. You can't make it on your own.
No, sir.
Some folks try, but they'll fail every time. We need to have wholehearted faith and be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, the lesson is yours. And I hope in some way, in some fashion, it's helped you tonight. Tomorrow night, we're going to look at Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus is a great example for us. Here was a man that you never would have thought he'd become what he became. Jesus can make a difference.
Amen.
In our lives. And Jesus can make a difference in your life tonight. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? As we already point out in John 8, 24, except you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. Will you repent? And Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and again in verse 5, it says, I tell you nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. In Matthew 10, Jesus said, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before the Father who is in heaven. And Jesus gave the great commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And then that's only the beginning. Some folks say their ticket's punched when they're baptized. That's just the beginning. You're to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You're to add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, so forth and so on. You're to be faithful up and to the point of death. You're to be keeping on. You're to be steadfast. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You don't ever quit. You don't ever give up. You don't give out. You keep on till the very end. And then you'll have that home in heaven. If you need to respond, our good brother's going to lead us in this song. I've decided to follow Jesus, isn't it? Won't you decide to follow Jesus?